A walk through Wichita's Mexican-American history. I'm Suzanne Perez, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from Fidelity Bank and listeners like you.
Coming up, a different kind of Liberty Bell.
They asked, well, could we have a bell made out of turkey red winter wheat?
But first, a new trail in north central Wichita honors the history of the city's Mexican-American community. The Woodland Park Historical Walk features photos and stories of some of the immigrants who lived, worked, and helped settle Wichita's north end. Jennifer Anima talked to some of the people behind the project.
The path can be seen from 21st Street in Mascot, not far from the Little Arkansas River. Its large white panels feature text in both English and Spanish, detailing Wichita's Mexican heritage dating back to the 1870s. The 9 panels explain the city's early meatpacking industry, civic engagement, activism, religion, and sports.
We are proud of where we came from here in the North End, and anyone from the North End, I think, would say the same thing.
That's Anita Mendoza. She's president of the North End Wichita Historical Society, a group of only 3 volunteers hoping to preserve the neighborhood's history for generations to come. She says the 9 panels on the Woodland Park Historical Walk are just a small portion of what could have been included. The idea came from the Society's vice president and Kansas State Representative, Angela Martinez. Both women grew up in the area, and Martinez still lives just minutes from the park. She got the idea from seeing historical displays in prominent Black neighborhoods.
I just wanted that the history to be preserved and the stories to be told because of these, you know, the sacrifices and the work that was done that paved a path for us today.
Martinez says the display took nearly 10 years to complete. The panels feature photos, newspaper clippings, and a QR code that links to the Society's webpage, where names and more archives can be found. Many of the people, events, and companies are now gone, but some remain. Our Lady of Perpetual Help is featured and still stands as a Catholic church nearby. The annual men's fast pitch softball tournament is being held for the 78th time next month, and Villa Boxing Club is still up and running decades after it began. Jacob Villa is now the owner of Villa Boxing Club. It was once the North End Athletics Club, owned by his great-grandfather, Marshall Villa. Villa says his late father and grandfather would probably find the display unbelievable.
But to go back in time and just to tell you, even my dad, but tell my grandfather, like, one of these days, you guys are gonna, there's going to be a walk and you guys are going to be featured on their Villa Boxing Club. They'd probably look and laugh because of what has started and what it was and what it's become.
The boxing club is now in Plainview, where Villa continues his family tradition of coaching young athletes. Anita and Angela say this is only the beginning for them. Plans are in the works to try and create a cultural museum in the neighborhood that will feature more historical information and even artifacts for people to enjoy. More panels might be added and possibly a community celebration, which they say is needed to merge both old and new generations.
You know, the older generation is passing away, and our younger generation needs to know our history. I think the community just needs to know that we've been here a long time. Mm-hmm. We've been in this community, we've been in this state, we've been in this country a very long time. And just giving an understanding of who we are as a community.
For The Range, I'm Jennifer Anima.
There's more of Jennifer's look at the Woodland Park Historical Walk at KMUW.org. As our nation approaches its 250th anniversary, there are few symbols of freedom as iconic as the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia's Independence Hall. That was the bell that rang out on July 8, 1776, encouraging people to hear the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence. This summer, you may not get to the city of brotherly love, but Kansas has its own rendition of the Liberty Bell. For this month's Hidden Kansas, Becky Tanner takes us to Gosel.
In Gosel, at the Mennonite Heritage and Agricultural Museum, tourism traffic is picking up.
I'm here to see the Liberty Bell.
That's Lynn Berkland of Wichita, who's here to see Gosel's bell. It's more than twice the size of Philadelphia's, but weighs only 80 pounds. And it's made from turkey red wheat, so it doesn't make a sound. The story of how Gosel ended up with this bell is best explained by Fern Bartel, director of the museum.
In 1876, there was a bell there that Kansas made out of different grains and grasses.
That bell was then displayed at the Centennial Exposition, highlighting the first official World's Fair in Philadelphia that year. Now, fast forward to the nation's bicentennial.
I guess that's where the Smithsonian got the idea that, oh, we should ask Kansas whether they have the skills to do that again. The first request was just bundles of wheat, and so we accomplished that. And then they asked, well, could we have a bell made out of turkey red winter wheat?
The Mennonites of Gosel and surrounding areas made it. It took 200 people, ages 10 to 80, weaving strands of wheat. The Kansas Liberty Bell was displayed for 2 years in the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., before returning to Kansas. Today, it's in a glass-enclosed exhibit in the museum's Wheat Palace building. To protect it, pest strips line the floor's enclosure. There's even a mirror to look up inside the bell.
If people come just to see the bell, I don't charge them admission. I'm like, they made this special trip just to see the bell, and I've heard that it's much more interesting than the big ball of twine.
Oh, listen to you.
So I've never seen the big ball of twine. It's not my personal opinion, but somebody said that.
For The Range, I'm Becky Tanner.
Each month, Hidden Kansas explores intriguing spots across our state. You can read more about Gosel's Wheat Bell at kmuw.org. Before we go, a few words on gardening. I gleefully picked our first cucumber of the season recently. It's always exciting to watch those seedlings climb and spread, sending curly tendrils onto the support trellis. Yellow blossoms transform into baby cucumbers, and before you know it, you've got salad fixings. The herb garden is thriving too, full of dill, thyme, and tarragon that I didn't even plant this year. Turns out some herbs, like weeds, are perennial. I wasn't always a gardener. Like millions of others, I started during the COVID pandemic. Now I plan and plant and compare notes with our postal carrier, who grows heirloom tomatoes. I'm not sure gardening saves us any money. We'd have to sell hundreds of pounds of tomatoes to recoup the cost of our raised beds. But there's nothing like that first fresh veggie and the promise of more to come. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Beth Golay, Jonathan Huber, and Luann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torin Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Suzanne Perez, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.